Richard Pascoe, our tech guy, joins us now. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, mate, you've got commitments, so I'll get right into it, mate. And before we go into our regular thing, I mentioned on our news this morning that Queenslanders across the state will all be connected to the NBN by next year, with 60% of the southeast now connected, with more suburbs coming online every week. Despite that, NBN customers are still finding their connection speeds awful. There's a bloke called David Greer, a welder from Petrie, north of Brisbane, and he says it takes 30 minutes for him to send an email, and he finally had to get someone like yourself to come out, diagnose the problem. And Canstar Blue reports that a customer satisfaction survey, 50% or 57% of residents connected believe their internet service has not improved since switching to the NBN. What are your thoughts?
I sympathise with everybody over that. Part of the thing is when you sign up for the NBN, Paul, ACMA have come along and said that it must work. So what happens is, but you know, when you get your box, you know, your boxes, you've signed up to the NBN, you've got to make sure from day one that it's actually working. And it's part of the telco's responsibility, and people have got to realise this, that if you've signed up to the NBN, and like that poor guy who couldn't get his emails, that they have to provide another solution until it's fixed. So, you know, people are just not looking at their rights. And what I might do is, Paul, over the weekend, I might just put a thing up on my website about what are your rights in far as when you sign up to the NBN and what you need to do.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's information that we need. And that website, just to let people know if they want to take that down right now,
will be talktech.com.au.
Okay, now on to Internet Explorer. Still using Internet Explorer if you are. It is time, you're saying it's time to stop.
It is definitely time to stop. Microsoft, believe it or not, are actually warning you from doing this now. So they're saying it's enough of Internet Explorer. Please go along. If you're on Windows 10, please use Edge. I prefer to use Google Chrome or Firefox because they're not putting the features or the development into Internet Explorer anymore. Okay. And when you go onto some websites like yours, you want to see everything that's on there, not just some of the things that are on there. So if you're still using Internet Explorer, make that move today.
And on a similar note, what about Office 2019?
Now, this is quite funny, Paul. So the new version of Office, Microsoft have released it, which is 2019, and they've actually put out a statement saying, you know what, we'd prefer you not to buy it.
Huh?
Now, that's a stunning thing because they prefer you on the subscription-based version, which is actually far cheaper and better economically for you to buy it. But what happens is on the subscription-based version, they will give you new features all the way through. So every month there are some new features on there. Office 2019, if you bought it today, will have no new features until you buy the next version. So, you know, if you want the new features, and they're releasing some really good things on there, Paul, get the subscription-based version, which is around about $100 a year, rather than paying nearly $500 for a full copy of Office 2019.
Office 365, isn't it?
Office 365, you can subscribe to it online, and you never lose access to it as well, so which I like.
I'm suspicious of that because Microsoft, and you know, the money that they make, and here they are saying, don't buy the more expensive one, this one is better, and use this one. That doesn't compute with me.
Microsoft, Paul, is a different company to what it was 5 years ago since Satya Nadella has taken over. They're doing the right thing by their customers and consumers out there, and they're reaping the benefits from it, which I think is excellent news.
Now, what about captions on TV? We've never spoken about this really before. What's the go with captions on TV, and do you have them on, off? I know that a lot of people who are hard of hearing use them.
This fascinated me, so I thought I would bring it up this morning. So, yeah, a lot of times you know, when you and I grew up, Paul, Mum would have planted us in front of the TV sometimes to watch TV. It was a smartphone of our day, really, Paul. So nowadays, when we put kids in front of the TV, what educators are saying is, turn on the captions on the TV. The subtitles are there. Because what it's doing is, it's actually supporting literacy. So rather than just watching the picture, the kids are actually reading across the bottom of the screen. So they're helping in decoding words and reading better. So there's a linguist and researcher, Martine Dennett, actually calls captioning the most undervalued language learning strategy.
Wow, because, you know, you often associate the captions with older people, with our senior sits, but I'd never thought of it for kids to be actually learning those words.
Neither had I, Paul, until I read the studies about this. I thought I'd bring it up. Now, I'm not saying that you don't read books to the kids, right? Please don't send emails about that. What I'm saying is it's an aid to go along and help kids with word recognition. So I think anything to get more literacy in kids is a good thing.
Because there's a lot of kids coming out of schools these days, you know this, Richard, that just can't write, they can't write properly, and they can't pronounce words, and they can't spell words.
Exactly right. So this will, you know, and I've really got to say, the people who do captioning very, very well is Netflix.
Ah, our good friends at Netflix.
They do captioning, the superb captioning on Netflix as well. So, you know, so put them on the kids' channels on there. Great captioning on there. Just might help in some literacy in children. I think it's a good idea.
Okay, we're talking with our tech guy, Richard Pascoe, as we do normally at 9 o'clock, but he's a little earlier because of commitments today. Now, do you use Skype, and are you concerned about what people can see? Now, Microsoft have listened about this, apparently.
They have. Lots of people will go along and do Skype calls to relatives out there. And you know, Paul, when we've seen those Skype interviews on TV and the kids are running around the background and while the poor politician sits there trying to be composed and you see the wife sneaking and drag the kids out of the room.
That's right.
Microsoft have actually developed it now. It's out there for consumers as well. They will go along and blur the background for you.
Oh.
So if you haven't tidied the house, if there are people running around in the background, don't worry about it anymore, because what they do now is you will be on screen for people to see and talk to them, and everything else in the background will not be there. I think that's an amazing, amazing thing.
I think that is fantastic. And apparently, how do they do that technically? Do we know?
They do it through what's called artificial intelligence. So they've been able to go along and look at screens. So if you've got like volumes of hair like you and I do, Paul, the hair will still be there. Our arms and legs will be there. But as soon as it gets in the background, it goes along and goes, oh, my God, missing table, blur all this out. Marvellous, marvellous technology, Paul. It really is.
That's fantastic. Now, and one thing we don't discuss is the cleanliness of our phone, but it is super important.
It is, Paul. Believe it or not, Paul, it's actually been shown that we touch our phone. Get ready to sit down, people. 2,617 times a day on average.
What?
Let me repeat that. 2,617 times a day. Because it's every swipe, it's every tap, it's every when we send text messages, when we post on social media, and we take them everywhere with us. Now, you and I would never, ever take our phone to the toilet, Paul, but lots of people according to that do.
I do. I take the phone to the toilet, and I've left it in the toilet a couple of times, then run back and got it. So I think people do take it to the toilet.
Well, I'm trying to cover for you here, Paul. I'm doing my best.
Okay.
We take it on public transport. We take it to the pub with us. It's like an extra arm, isn't it, Paul? It really is. We can't put them down. It's our friend. We take it everywhere with us.
That's exactly right.
We clean things around our house. We clean ourselves. But we're neglecting our phones. Now, our phones on the screen itself really is a harbinger for carrying bacteria and viruses. There are actually been multiple reports of infections being transmitted from the screens on our phones, including the flu virus.
Ooh.
Now, we have seen in the last few years a rise in flu incidents, haven't we, Paul?
We have.
We have. So they've actually learnt that flu viruses can live on our smartphones for up to 24 hours. So if you've got the flu, Paul, and Marion touches your phone, you might actually pass it on to her. So what we're encouraging people to do, Paul, is clean their phones. Wipe them down at least once a day. It's not that hard to do. A lint-free cloth, you know, one of those cloths that you actually clean your glasses with is quite okay.
Yes.
But also there's lint-free cloths from the supermarket as well, which are very, very cheap. Lightly dampen it with water and wipe the whole phone down. Don't spray water over it, Paul. That's not good.
No, no.
But a light,
no.
But a light cleaning does wonders for it. What I don't want people to see is, you know that ad on TV, Paul, for the antibacterial wipes, where we've got the kids out there who've never been out in the dirt before in their life, and they come inside and mum passes them those antibacterial wipes, which really annoy me, and get the kids to wipe their hands before they do anything in the house. Good heavens. Don't ever use those, because they actually contain abrasive liquid inside, so they can strip the coating off your screen and your phone. Whoa. So don't use those at all.
Okay.
Just a plain microfiber cloth with some water on, give it a quick wipe and you'll be fine.
And the other thing too is, I've got a cover on mine, and because you've got a cover, you'd get germs getting in amongst all the little cover too, wouldn't you? I've just taken mine off here in the studio. And between the back of the phone and the cover, the plastic cover, there'd be a little bit of germ activity there as well, I'd suspect.
Exactly right. Give it all a bit of a wipe down. It's going to help, Paul. And, you know, and we're not about spreading diseases or anything, but you know what? It's like your arm. Make sure you wash at least once a day.
Hang on. Did you say arm?
I cleaned that up immensely.
No, that's good. That's good. All right, mate. But listen, I know you've got a commitment and you had to come in early. So, look, have a great day.
No worries. Thanks, Paul. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week at your regular time, hopefully.
Yes, Paul.
See you, mate.
See you, mate.